Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each week as we have some amazing experts and entrepreneurs and industry leaders share their story, all to help you win the battle for business each and every day. We do it right here in the Profit Express. So, of course, thanks for being on board, sharing some of your time with me today. I'm going to make it worth your while. Now, while you are on Facebook, you can give the show a like and a thumbs up at the Profit Express page on Facebook. And you can also follow me and the show on Twitter at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. So, the image of entrepreneurs has been romanticized over the years, especially with the mega success stories associated with the likes of Gates and Zuckerberg and Spanx's Sarah Blakely and Under Armour's Kevin Plank. Now, the part that's easily forgotten is the sacrifice, is the risk, the huge potential for failure. I mean, who wants to talk about that, right? But that is the really, that is the reality of what it is to be an entrepreneur. The fact is that every one of the aforementioned billionaire entrepreneurs had to endure their fair shares of risk and sacrifice and potential for failure. And yet, despite all of that, every year, thousands of people embark on the entrepreneur's journey knowing full well it could end as a total and miserable failure. So why do they take the risk, these entrepreneurs? Well, we're a rare breed, let's face it. Some of us are in it for the autonomy, the purpose, the passion, the financial reward. Whatever it is for you, you're listening, you're an entrepreneur today, and I'm here to help you win the battle for business. And I have got the perfect resource for you today. He is John Jantz. He's the renowned small business marketing guru and best-selling author of Duct Tape Marketing, Duct Tape Selling, The Commitment Engine, and The Referral Engine. Now, John is here to share his latest book, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur. And his latest book speaks to the heart and soul of you, the entrepreneur. Because if you are an entrepreneur or you know somebody who is, you know the inherent roller coaster ride. And John's book offers 366 daily meditations to feed your soul and grow your business. And to me, this isn't just a feel-good book with cute quotes. No, it's not. John does a great job of getting you to think and reflect on who you are, how you see yourself as an entrepreneur, while strengthening your belief of what is possible as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur. So it's a real, real pleasure to have on board the Profit Express marketing guru, best-selling author, John Jantz. John, how are you today?
Hey, I am great. Thanks for having me. And, you know, one of the things, listening to your intro, I just want to add, I think a lot of times we do focus on those mega success stories, or we focus on, like, the mega failures, you know? And I think the truth of the matter is 95% of us are somewhere in the middle of that. There's no huge success story. There's no, you know, we're paying the bills, you know, we're eating, you know, food, putting food on the table.
Sure.
But I think the real tragedy in that group in the middle is so many of them are also getting the life sucked out of them. I mean, there's no joy and happiness in this totally freeing thing that they've chosen to do. And that's really who I'm probably most interested in trying to address.
Well, that's actually a good distinction to start off with. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs aren't going to get to the billionaire club. Not that I'm being negative, but those are the stats.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into a grind and kind of get lost in that grind. And it's funny because I almost don't know where to start with your book, because you've written, and I mean that as a compliment, and you'll understand in just a moment. But obviously, like, you know, your other books, Duct Tape Marketing, Duct Tape Selling, they're very much the hands-on how-to approach for marketing, for selling, for SEO.
That's right.
This book is a departure, and it's a book that I've already thought about a dozen people I'm going to give it to as gifts coming up in the new year. But I have to start off with, and this is really super interesting. So it's about meditations and reflections. But where did you get the idea of using daily meditation inspired by 19th century transcendentalist authors? Where did that come from?
Well, about 10 or 12 years ago, I picked up a book. I'm a big fan of Peter Drucker's work, so I'm giving away my age a little bit. But
he's a classic. We all know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was some of the first stuff that I read, 30 years ago. About 10, 12 years ago, somebody took a body of his work and kind of collected into a book they called The Daily Drucker. And it was just kind of the same format where every day you got some pearl of wisdom and in his particular book, some action steps and a nice little ribbon in there so you could keep your place. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure when I decided, but at some point about 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, I want to do that. I want to, instead of, as you pointed out beautifully, write another how to do something book. I want to write a why to do something book and really sort of get at the, I feel like I've given my body of work of, the how-to stuff, and now kind of maybe get at the mindset shift that I think has to occur, or at least just the mindset that you need to go into, being an entrepreneur so that this thing does truly deliver on the promise of joy and happiness that I think it can.
It's funny because... Unless you're an entrepreneur, it's very hard for somebody to understand what we go through. You're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, I am as well. Even your wives, even the people closest to you, your family, they can understand, they can empathize, but they don't always really understand what we go through on a daily basis. So the fact that you're speaking to the why and getting people to reflect, I think it was a great choice. Now, the very title itself, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, let's just start with what it is, the basic, sure, the obvious there. Why is it important for an entrepreneur to be self-reliant?
Well, I think the main thing is because it's really synonymous with self-trust. There's so many things in the world conspiring against us. I mean, start with some of the people that are our loved ones, that don't get why we're doing what we're doing, think what we're doing is silly. You were supposed to be a doctor. Why are you doing, X, Y, Z? I mean, so there's so much of that noise kind of conspiring against us, really our whole lives. And then there's just a lot of the things that happen out there in the world that conspire against us. So the idea behind being self-reliant is that you come to trust yourself so fully, and not just yourself, but your unique gifts and the vision that you have, that you're able to follow that dream without fear of what others think or say. And I think that's such an important element because until we do that, we're going to be controlled in so many ways, by what we think we should be doing, by comparing ourselves to what we see other people doing. And when we can release all of that and just say, no, this is my path. This is what I'm maybe born to do. This is my calling, and I'm going to stick with it. If you don't end up with that level of trust, you're just constantly doubting, and those voices, from external voices as well as the ones in your head, are going to drive you crazy.
Well, it's true because, again, some of the people closest to you, it even happened in my own life, when I started my business almost 2 decades ago. They said, are you sure? It's like because they love you, because they don't want to see you fail. They question you, and then that becomes, that self-fulfilling prophecy, and, you certainly have to guard against it. So, that's why the self-reliance certainly, plays into it. Now, if you could, for just a moment.
And I think also, if I could add just one more thing to that, a lot of times we get in our heads, the role we're supposed to play, or, this is who I am, or this is who people believe I am. And a lot of times the fight that we really have is we don't want to disappoint those people, us stepping outside of, who we've always been and doing what we, decide we want to do is a lot of times really scary because some of those people might not come with us.
And it's true. When I have conversations like the one you and I are having right now with guests or just other business owners, I'm often reminded, you said, we follow what people think we should be doing or, how we've been perceived by others, which is key.
Sure.
I sit and I think for a moment how many phenomenal, amazing ideas died because of that.
Yeah.
We'll never know, but it just gets you thinking. Now, one thing I want to do in the book, because it talks about, daily meditation. So you have one for each day of the year. from January 1st all the way through, obviously. But explain to me, because I thought it was interesting, you also broke up the book into four seasons. What was your thinking behind that?
Well, there's a couple of things. I wrote a blog post about 4 years ago, maybe just sort of ruminating on my entrepreneurial journey. And I kind of said, you know, every time I've taken like a different path, or I've decided to do something a little new, or I've written a new book, you know, it's almost like I'm starting over again. That there's a process that I have to go to really trust the idea, to kind of find the purpose in the idea, to stay resilient enough to see it through, and then to really maybe measure, you know, what kind of impact I'm having. And that, you know, that can run across somebody's entire career as kind of stages, or it can be something that's a never-ending cycle. Because I wrote this book as a annual, you know, we go through the entire year, mm-hmm. kind of the season metaphor, you know, just really made sense to me. And so it just gave me kind of a narrative arc for the book, but also a way to structure and organize many of the readings that I found as well.
Got it. Okay, so that was the structure behind it. Now,
yeah. From a practical standpoint, one of the things that I did, as you noted, is I mined a vein of literature from the mid 19th century, and so it also gave me each month in the book has a theme, a one word theme like resilience or creativity or commitment, mm-hmm. and so it also gave me a way to really organize all of that research I was doing on that writing and literature from that period.
Now, are you a fan of the literature from that period?
Yes, very much. So, to give people a little context, we're talking about like the 1850s through the 1890s. And if you think about what was going on in that period in America, at least, we were on the cusp of the Civil War. Women were marching in the streets to get the right to vote. Mm-hmm. We were trying to abolish slavery. It was really, in some people's view, kind of the first counterculture period in America, where there was all this this upheaval. And so a lot of the writing from that time, some of it very overt, like Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau,
yeah.
Wrote Civil Disobedience and Self-Reliance, which I borrowed for the title of this book, was an essay by Emerson. But also the fiction from that time, which we were all asked to read, Scarlet Letter, Little Women, Moby Dick, all of those works, you started seeing for the first time in American literature a protagonist who was very self-reliant, who was very much, hey, I've got to do, you know, what's in my heart, you know, even though I know I'm going to suffer, perhaps, you know, for following my path. And so a lot of entrepreneurs, I mean, you'll see on Pinterest and Instagram, you know, quotes from Emerson and Thoreau.
Thoreau.
And I got into, you know, when I got into a little more research and got deeper into a lot of the authors, particularly a lot of wonderful female authors who really didn't get a lot of exposure because of the times, I found that it was not just those writers. I mean, it was pretty much everybody writing kind of about that idea of self-reliance. And so consequently, I think today there's a really good reason we're still asked to read a lot of those books. But I think today it's still some of the best entrepreneurial writing that was ever created. And I really felt like exposing people to that writing would be, you know, half of the value of me doing this work.
Well, it was, because at first I'm like, you know, what? You know, I didn't, obviously I'm not a very well-read person, unfortunately, regarding that. But as you described it, and you made a very important analogy in the book that, you know, and not a lot of people may consider, but entrepreneurs have a much closer or a parallel kind of path, closer to an artist than a traditional business person.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. In many cases, we are creating something out of nothing. We are right. blending a couple things that, you know, nobody else thought about putting together. I mean, that's, you know, that's the closest definition to making art that there is.
And if you're just tuning in, today's guest, John Jance, he is a best-selling author of, I'm sure you know the books, of course, Duct Tape Marketing, Duct Tape Selling. And we're talking today about his latest release, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul and Grow Your Business. And from John's perspective, this is not so much the how-to book, but a book to kind of help you along the way in the mental and emotional journey that it means to be an entrepreneur. Now,
John, so Tim, we didn't talk about this, but if you think that it makes sense, it takes me about 2 minutes to read a page. So I'm happy to do that at some point if you think that makes sense, because I think we're talking about kind of the concept of the book. It's a great way to give people a real taste.
You know what? Okay, so this is funny. So I'm going through the book, and in my notes I have a number of pages, and each page is a day. You know, January 1st, January 2nd, the way through, obviously, if you know, for the listeners.
Right.
And so I've highlighted a number that really, you know, focused on me, that spoke to me. And today is, don't give it out yet, okay? But today is actually a special day, and I'm sure you know why, November 13th in the book. So, all right, so which, are you going to pick a random page, or is there a particular page you want to share with the audience that you want to read through?
You know, people keep asking me, what's my favorite one? And of course I can't pick my favorite child, right?
Right.
And so I've been reading January 1st, just to keep it simple. It's the first one in the book.
Go ahead,
But if you want me to read your birthday, perhaps, Tim, or something like that, we could do that, too.
No, I actually like January 3rd, 1st. I had a note on it, so go right ahead.
Okay. So every day has the title, you know, the page has its own title, and then some reading. This one happens to be from Thoreau's Walden, and then about 100, 150 words from me. And then the third part is I end every day with what I call a challenge question. So it's meant to be related to the reading, but also meant to kind of make you think. Some of the questions aren't, you know, you might not have immediate, obvious answers to, and that's where the real work comes, I think, is if you take that question into the day, hopefully it'll show up, you know, as you go through the day and things happen through the day.
Right.
All right, so January 1st. The force of nature. Why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed and in such desperate enterprises? If a person does not keep pace with their companions, perhaps it is because they hear a different drummer. Let them step to the music which they hear, however measured or far away. It is not important that you should mature as soon as an apple tree or an oak. Shall you turn your summer, your spring, into summer? That's Henry David Thoreau's Walden, 1854. Nature has no desire to succeed. One season inevitably folds into the next, a year marked by changes in weather, ecology, and daylight, no matter how much force we might exert to contain it. If we attempted to mimic nature, one thing is for sure, we would release the need to control any aspect of our lives. We would give in to what naturally needs to happen. This is a fundamental element of self-reliance, and ironically, by releasing the need to control, we eventually find that we gain access to greater control. Think about the last time you forced or tried to force something to happen. How did that feel? How did it turn out? If you succeeded, did the result last? Now, think about the last time something came into your life by way of what felt like luck. Isn't it possible that your luck or your lack of control actually created what you characterized as luck? You're letting go created your fate. Today, and as you journey through this book, consider the many things on your path that worked out well for you, even though you didn't or couldn't control them. Listen closely for this tone, for it is your beat, the beat of your different drummer. Your challenge question today, can you describe a time when you benefited from luck? What does luck feel like?
You know, it's funny. First of all, I know I have challenges with trying to control things. I think we all do, especially entrepreneurs. A lot of us have that A-type personality, trying to control so many things that are completely out of our control. And that's a great example. And thank you for reading that, John, as far as how the book is set up. And at least from my perspective, you know, this isn't a book that you just read. I mean, each day is a serious reflection and consideration and question. I don't think maybe it's just me. I don't think you could do more than one a day. And obviously, that's how it's designed, of course.
Yeah.
Am I right there?
Yeah, I actually talk about this is not a book. This is like a workbook or a practice.
Right.
You know, kind of the idea is that you wouldn't pick it up. I mean, some people probably read several, flip around. You could certainly do that. But I think the real idea behind this is that you maybe take it into a morning routine or something that you already have, you know, where you get yourself settled and centered and, you know, ready for the day. Maybe it's planning, you know, maybe it's meditation or, you know, whatever it is that you might do. And that you take the 2 minutes to read this and ponder the question, and hopefully, you know, it puts you in the right spot, or it helps you think about something differently. But then you come back the next day and the next day, and frankly, the next year and the next year after that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find that the pages will mean something different to you, you know, every single time you pick them up. That's what people have told me. And I believe it's true. I mean, we won't be the same person January 1st, you know, next year as we are January 1st this year. So it is something that I, you know, my hope is that people establish a habit, you know, out of just including it in their day.
Now, there's a few, and this is completely a book that can help develop habits, awareness as I see it, mm-hmm. On some key issues. And again, today's guest, John Jantz, best-selling author of books like Duct Tape Selling, Duct Tape Marketing, and talking about his latest release, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul. John, you have some time to stick around.
You bet. Okay. Let's keep talking.
I want to lead off with one of my favorite Thoreau's, Henry David Thoreau quotes, right here in the Profit Express. Don't go anywhere.